So Brent, in the book, we talk about tension and interpersonal tensions. I'm just curious, what do you mean by that?
When we talk about tension, we think, if you think about an elastic band and that sense of pulling an elastic band, and the more we pull it, the more tension that shows up. And that's really an analogy for how our body works. And when we're in tension with, sometimes we can be in just in tension with a something that's going on in our day, but often we're in tension with another individual. And so if we keep that tension within ourselves, it starts to grow and grow and grow. And as we know with elastic band, when you stretch it, when you let go, eventually it snaps back. And when we're in tension with somebody else, can be very much the same. If we deal with the tension very early with someone, then we can diffuse that pretty quickly. When we don't, and we keep that tension building, then when we let go, there's a little bit of an explosion that can happen. So, you know, often we, the word conflict would be used in a traditional sense. We use the word tension a little bit more to speak to what's held within our own body, that feeling that we are having ourselves when we are in conflict with someone else.
And so Brent, you're talking a little bit about how, you know, if we don't process that that rubber band, it can grow and grow and stretch and stretch. You know, Susan, wondering if you can speak to how else conflict avoidance hampers organizational effectiveness.
Seems like a little bit of a rhetorical question. I mean, in traditional organizations, you know, and I speak from firsthand experience here, as I'm sure many of you will relate to, that when we're in command and control environments where we are subject to a boss's will over our work or our performance, we live in a state of perpetual tension, right? And like that rubber band is always pulled like that. And so what happens there is that anytime any little thing even pokes at it, it can just explode and burst. But when we're leading together and we're trying to create workplaces that are more humane, it's absolutely essential that we acknowledge that conflict is a natural part of our relationships. And the theory is, or the hypothesis, and something that I've seen work real well in environments in which I work, is to like just acknowledge this. And it starts as so many of the practices and the opportunities that we have when we lead together is making the implicit explicit, right? Like naming when it's happening, being unflinching and saying like, right. We had this conversation and we left that where it was clear for you that you felt that it was resolved, but it was not resolved for me. And practicing actually being able to name conflicts when they're first beginning can really transform the potential for what's possible when we lead together.
Yeah, okay. So we've got to name and address the other tensions as they come up. And Brent, back to you on how do we do this well? Is there ways we can use language or other tools to speed it up or make the resolving of the tensions more effective?
The choice of language is so important when we get into tensions, because most often when we're in tension, we're triggered emotionally. And when those emotions kick in, then we can start to use language that is unhelpful. So maybe I'll start by just talking about some of the unhelpful language. So when we start to label other people, you know, he's a bully, you know, she's unreasonable, things like that, that starts to place that individual into a category. What we really want to talk about is behavior. and situational elements that are going on. So when we can start to look at and name the actions that are happening without labeling the individuals that we are in tension with, that allows us to really focus on the content and make progress in that that direction.
All right, so focusing more on the other behaviors, less on labeling the people, that makes sense. Taking that broader and looking at the organizational scale, what are the useful ways organizations can do and implement for resolving conflicts on teams, Susan?
I mean, I think that as I was talking about earlier, like being like practicing being able to leave conversations where you're feeling resolved is like the first level. That's not always practical or possible, right? You might be a third or fourth person in a meeting where you're noticing something going on, but you can't name it in the moment and you walk away with that tension. So a couple of things come to mind. Like one is having a regular predictable cadence for resolving tensions. One of the great practices of holacracy is this idea of being able to raise tensions and resolve them. The Ready has a great set of cards. I think they're called, are they called tension cards? To
not
be
sure.
Able
they,
to.
They might be.
Yeah. To have a regular time where you know that once a week or once a fortnight, there's going to be an opportunity for you to raise the tensions that you're holding is a really, really useful practice at a team and an organizational level. And then the last thing is, again, talking about making the implicit explicit. Having a conflict resolution guideline document is absolutely essential so that we know that if we can't resolve our tensions on our own or one-to-one or in a group setting in a tension-resolving meeting, that there is a held clear process for resolving those tensions can actually, you know, take a lot of that tension out of the situation.
Yeah, those are absolutely amazing. Looking at making that space and that regular occurrence, I don't think that's one that shows up in most organizations, but it's pretty easy to implement and impactful. That process that you talk about too, as well. I love Morningstar's example on this, which is the tomato processor, and they've got their escalation process has first bring in a colleague if you can't resolve it between yourselves, one that's that everybody likes and respects to help out and then escalate from there. All of that just adds like, what do we do when things are really stuck?
Right, yeah. And I think it's worth mentioning, just referencing back to the holacracy practice of resolving tension, always coming back to what do you need for each of the individual who has the tension to really practice expressing what they need in order for the tension to be resolved for them.